Planning Commission Board of Adjustment meeting for June 24th, 2025, and the meeting is being recorded, and I will be posted on the city website. Anybody wishing to speak, please raise your hand until recognized by the chairperson, that'd be me, and then state your name and address, and with that, we'll do a roll call.
Mike?
Fred.
Don.
Bob.
Yuri.
And any additions or deletions to the agenda?
I do have an addition under new business. There's an extension request for a variance issued to Peter Sandel.
What kind of request was that?
A variance extension request.
Oh, okay. Date.
Pardon?
Date extension.
Yes.
Not structure extension.
Yes.
Okay. We have two public hearings tonight. The first one is a conditional use permit, application 11-25, for maintenance of an existing riprap requiring more than 10 cubic yards of dirt slash material moving within the shoreline residential zone 1, I believe that is. The subject property is located at 14482 Grouse Lane. Property ID is 22280517. And the applicant is Marilyn and James McKeon, and they are also the owners. And with that, Bethany, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you very much. Good evening, Chair Stancer and the Planning Commission. The applicant is seeking a conditional use permit for materials and dirt moving of approximately 50 cubic yards to repair the existing riprap on their parcel. The existing riprap was installed prior to the adoption of current ordinance standards and requirements. It is understood that a conditional use permit, shoreline alteration permit, or land use permit was not required at the time of the original installation. The riprap has sustained damage from ice, and the property owners would like to repair the riprap and restore the slope. I did provide pictures in the staff report showing the areas of concern. If their conditional use permit request is granted this evening, they will be required to construct and improve the riprap to DNR standards. If you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer that. Also, the property owners are here this evening.
I don't know, but I know the DNR has some standards, but I know the local hydrologist quite often will come out and look at erosion, and I'm wondering if the hydrologist from Brainerd has been out to look at this to see if this is the right solution.
Yep, he has not been out on site.
Okay.
Early on in this, I consulted with Jake Free, our area hydrologist.
Okay.
I gave him pictures. I went out and conducted a site visit. We took a look at it. When we look at this situation here, and from the pictures in your packet tonight, I don't think riprap would be permitted now, currently, right? It doesn't meet standards today. They have a beautiful historic ice ridge. We wouldn't want anything like that. So there are quite a few items on their property that don't meet current provisions or performance standards. That being said, it's an existing legal non-conforming use. We are going to allow them to continue that use. And so the remedy for this, as you can see from the pictures, I think the ice heaves have really kind of taking that slope away that they're required to have. And when I spoke with Jake Free, you know, we both kind of had an agreement that this isn't the ideal situation, but it needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
And so I did send him the information. I have not received comment from him. I don't anticipate receiving any comment.
Sure.
But we did chat about it.
I'd like to make the comment. I went out and looked at it. It wasn't clear to me completely by looking at the packet, but it became very clear going out there that that it needs some maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if it's not maintained, it's going to be a problem.
Yep.
So it seems like this is the right solution to maintain it, do it correctly. So seems pretty straightforward, especially if the DNR agrees that this is the method to maintain this.
I don't know if they agree with it. I think they would agree if, you know, they completely restored it to today's standards, but that's not anything that we can require a property owner to do.
Right.
So I don't think they agreed with it. I think they're just going to go with their no comment.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got a question. On page 8, mm-hmm. It looks to me like the lower, is that the retaining wall? Or
that would be one of those items that's part.
Repair, then pull that out and fix that, or where do they...
You are free to speak about what your plans are for that, because this application does not include, I thought, any changes to that, that they were just going to repair the riprap.
So, permission to speak?
Yep.
Yes.
The reason why we included that picture is just to show you the safety hazard, and you can see that, like, the riprap is falling down. And we worked extensively with Gordy, the past city administrator, in 2001, which was 24 years ago. I don't know if any of you were serving there. But those are the all of that work was done with Gordy's support in 2001. But I included that just so you can see, like, that's the hazard I'm concerned about, and Mike, I appreciate you coming out because you got to meet our first grandchild. That's what we're concerned about. And again, thank you, Bethany, for like relating. Like, yes, we understand there's things on East and West Fox that wouldn't be under today's code, but this was 24 years ago, and we've got it to last this long. Like, I just want to make sure it's safe for the next 24 years. So that's why that was included.
And that.
I might just add to that. If you notice, you can see the preservation of the slope, and over here it's 3 feet back where there was never anything installed with the neighbors, mm-hmm. And so that ice action has, as you put it, changed the grade of the rock. The intent is to simply add rock this way to protect the wall and.
Yep.
So larger rocks would be placed ahead of this?
Yes, within the DNR guidelines, right. 6 to 36 inch size rocks.
Yeah, I'll just add one more comment. What became clear to me is this, because of the ice skis that pushed it up, this, I think that there was a slope initially, but now it's just become vertical. Mm-hmm. Approaching vertical, so the existing rocks, you know, can't stay there. And what was explained to me is just to put a base at the bottom that just kind of reconstitutes this slope that can be maintained, that's safe, and a structure that will just hold its own.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And riprap's not designed to prevent ice damage, right? Riprap's going to be damaged by ice, and there's really not much we can do about that. But at this point, you know, I think just restoring the riprap is, you know, why they're here and the remedy in this situation.
Right. Any other public comments? Come on, Gary, you must have something.
Don't try to be quiet tonight.
All right, close. Any discussion amongst the board, or any other questions? Pretty straightforward, I guess.
I guess I have just one curiosity. Is the restoration of this going to take place in the summer? It doesn't matter, but I'm just curious, summer or the winter?
We're hoping this summer. We've contracted with the Lakes Marsh Service, who's got a ton of experience putting this in, and you could quote the DNR regulations to me, and then I looked it up, and it's exactly what he said.
Sure.
So he's done this many times, and his intent would be to bring pre-packaged, pre-boxed rock out on his barge, so there's no disruption of the ramp.
Sure.
And then make multiple trips as necessary, bring that out, and place them at the base on the waterward side of the high water mark. So that's the DNR jurisdiction anyway. Mm-hmm.
And Mike, why Rob won my heart is that while his barge goes in numerous lakes, that is power wash at the DNR station in between each lake, because, you know, winter is different, and we can't get a truck through the channel between East and West Fox.
I see.
And when I heard that that barge hits the DNR station, and he'll actually show you this, you know, he took a picture and did that. That won me over, because we're really protective on our waters. About
so they're doing it right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anybody care to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve the conditional use permit application 11.25 under the conditions that have been described.
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May we add one more comment, since it's being publicly recorded? I just feel like we had the best advice and support with our new city administrator, zoning administrator, Bethany. She met with us twice on site, and I just really appreciate like the professionalism and the guidance, because you know, we didn't want to go down a road that wasn't going to work, and she just helped and guide us. So I just really think that our city is in very good hands. So
thank you very much.
Thank you. Now that that's recorded.
thank you all.
Thank you.
The next item is ordinance amendment 12-25. To amend the City of 50 Lakes Land Use Ordinance to include the definitions for cannabis-related businesses and use in establishment which within which districts allow cannabis businesses is either conditional or permitted use. Application is the City of 50 Lakes. And I'll turn that over to Beth.
Thank you so much. In your packet tonight are some ordinance amendments relating to the regulation of cannabis use within the City of 50 Lakes, not just use, but business and cultivation. There's two separate items. There is a draft of the proposed ordinance, and it's the ordinance amending the city code to regulate cannabis businesses in the City of 50 Lakes. This is the draft ordinance that will be going in front of the city council in 2 weeks. That's not what we're deciding on tonight. I just thought that was good for you to have for reference. Also, feel free to read it and give us whatever suggestions or feedback that you may have. The ordinance 25-4 is the ordinance amending the 50 Lakes Land Use Ordinance regarding Chapter 4, which is the land use districts, and Chapter 10, which is the definitions. We met together as a subcommittee. The subcommittee consisted of Bob, Jessica, myself, and Gary, or not Gary, Tony Light, and we met to discuss the provisions that you see before you tonight. So those were decisions that were made in that subcommittee. So the amendments are red, underlined, and we've decided that, or the subcommittee decided that cannabis cultivation, cannabis hemp manufacture, cannabis retail business, cannabis transportation and delivery, and cannabis wholesale, we put those in the land use matrix. Those would be allowed use with a CUP. All of those uses would be allowed in commercial areas, in commercial mixed use, and all but the retail would also be allowed in agricultural zone areas. In Section 10 of the Land Use Ordinance, we've added definitions. These are just a few definitions. I'd be happy to go ahead and read those if you want me to. Have you all read them? Okay. I don't anticipate this is our last time amending this ordinance or actually amending the cannabis ordinance. I think as the state gives us more information and as we all go down this road of regulating cannabis, that a lot of changes will be made, and that will be back at a meeting to discuss. Yeah. Yes?
I'm assuming that we're pretty much just adopting state
statutes on this?
The proposed ordinance to it that's going to the city council this next month is based off the OCM, so the Office of Cannabis Management, their model ordinance.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good. That's way too confusing for us to understand as citizens. You know, this is.
We went through it line by line. We discussed all of the different points, and I think it's just very vague, and the state is very vague, and we're working to just have something in place that will probably be amended.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So does Crow Wing County have their own iteration of this, or, the state is really the...
I don't know if they've adopted anything quite yet, but I do know other area cities have been adopting. And they're just doing the best they can with the information that they have right now.
Right.
So is this what Source Wellness is kind of recommending to do with all their cities that they're managing?
Only asked to do it, and only it's zoning. What is it's zoning adjacent. It's really not planning and zoning the cannabis ordinance. The amendments that you see tonight, those are zoning. They always impact our zoning ordinance. But the cannabis ordinance itself is. Not really zoning. It's just kind of, it's like your alcohol ordinance, right? Planning and zoning doesn't really have a lot to do with the regulation of alcohol in the city of 50 Lakes. But it is something that Sourcewell has offered to help cities get in place.
So in our regard, then it really just only applies to the land use matrix?
For tonight, yep. So tonight you're recommending to the city council whether or not you'd like to adopt the changes that you see in red. Yeah. And it's just adding those uses to the land use matrix and then adding the appropriate definitions to the definitions chapter. If you have any questions.
Well, until I was on the committee, I never gave much thought to the cultivation side of it. I just figured, you got a retail store and they sell cannabis. That's the way it is. Never thought about, oh, that's right, you got to grow it someplace. It's going to be a greenhouse.
Yeah, so cannabis cultivation is more of an industrial endeavor and not so much fields of plants growing.
Are there any other kind of legal permits that are required?
So the ordinance itself does itemize and detail the registration process that businesses will have to go. So there's a state lottery. If they get the lottery, they get a pre-approval, and then they have to register their business with the city. And this is separate from whatever zoning requirements of a CUP or, those items. But they have to register with the city. There's a whole process that the city, and it's very much like, alcohol license. There's an annual renewal. There's, you can have it suspended. There's going to be compliance checks done. I believe right now you have the county that does your compliance checks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with alcohol, it'll be the same for that. There's not a lot of property that's zoned commercial. The only retail would be allowed in commercial areas. And then it was the decision of the subcommittee to allow for the cultivation and all of the other uses within ag as well as the commercial areas.
Mm-hmm. It looks like the matrix is defined just right. Makes sense?
Looks. I think so.
Anybody, any comment from the public? Well, I'll ask for a motion of recommendation.
I'll make a motion to adopt the ordinance amendment 12-25 to amend the City of 50 Lakes land use ordinance.
I'll second that.
Okay. For the record, that was a recommendation to the City Council?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. All favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Open forum. This is one, nobody can say. We get a chance to look at the minutes from the May 27th, 2025 meeting. And if there's any corrections or additions or deletions. If not, I'll make a motion that we approve the May 27th, 2025 minutes.
And I'll second that motion.
Thanks, Fred. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. New business. Posito driveway request, PID 221305550. Posito.
Several weeks ago, we received some applications and some information about a driveway and a parking area request on a parcel. Do you have the... Is that it? This should be a certificate of survey. There we go. So this is the parcel in question. It is 30 feet wide by, I believe, 600, 800 and some long. It's significantly long. It is in a very interesting spot where there is significant bluff and slope to the north, and you can see that it is North Eagle Lake Road that runs right across the property. The southern portion of the property is on the lake. That does also have some significant sloping, though it's not a bluff. It would be definitely a steep slope, though. That southern portion lies completely within SIZ 1 and 2, and so it does not meet structure setbacks. The ordinance does require, I'll just quote right here from the ordinance, it says that it cannot be placed within shore impact zones 1 or 2 or bluff impact zones when other reasonable and feasible placement alternatives exist. If no other alternatives exist, they may be placed within these areas and must be designed to minimize adverse impacts. So in this situation, there is no ability for a parking area to the north. And so the only available parking would be to the south. However, it's very narrow. And when I spoke with the contractor, potential contractor for this project, he mentioned that it may include upwards of 200 cubic yards of dirt moving. That is a substantial amount of dirt moving in SIZ 2. So from all accounts, I'm able to issue a permit for a driveway through our ordinance that would allow. This is the only reasonable area to do so. However, with that massive amount of dirt moving, the fact that it is in SIZ 1 and 2 just had me think that it would be a good thing to bring to you this evening, ask what avenues you would like me to take in the permitting of this driveway. Things like, do we need to have this engineered with that kind of dirt volume, with those kinds of things? Do we need a grading plan? Do we need, you know, any other things that you can think of? We want to make sure that we're allowing access for people to their property, that they're not parking on roads. There's also an accessibility issue. There are family members that aren't able to use stairs, and so they want to be able to have that ability to bring their family down closer to the lake and to be able to use that property. But you can imagine my concern with, you know, that kind of volume.
Where is this located, and who owns it?
I own it.
Oh.
Reno Esposito. My wife and I reside in Cross Lake, 16398 Pinewood Drive. We have this property. My father lives in 50 Lakes. He utilizes it mostly. And then my sister as well. She's handicapped, equilibrium issues, but she's able to get down there. There is a small path. My mother, however, has not been able to go to the property. She is wheelchair bound. and we would have to drive down there, and it's just not feasible currently. So that's the main concern, I guess, for us. The property itself isn't, you know, it's not worth a lot, but we're putting money into it because the family likes to utilize it. Yeah. The bluff on the one side, you can't park. The northern side, the southern side, it was a gradual slope years and years ago. Whenever North Eagle Lake Road was put in, they just sloughed the dirt off to the side and it changed the grade, and it created a steep gradient down to the lake for a short section. Mark Bradley a couple years ago looked at it, and he had indicated he was thinking like 12 to 14 loads, which would have been, I think it was around 150, which is still over 50.
Now, we don't have this drawing. Where's...
That's the county website.
Yeah, that's just the county website.
GIS. But, and then Isaac, I tried getting a hold of Bradley because he had looked at it prior. He must be busy doing other stuff. We talked to Isaac Weingold, and it would reduce the grade so that we would actually be able to park out of the road right of way. Currently, there is no ability for us to get out of the road right of way. Traffic on that road, as you know, probably doesn't, it doesn't travel real fast, so we don't think we're a huge hazard. However, parking on the road right of way is probably not the safest thing to do, especially for some of my family members who have mobility issues. It's a unique parcel. We knew that purchasing it, but it is a nice little swim spot. My family members camp there. We can utilize it to kayak down to our properties. We have other properties in Crest Lake, and it's just a unique little spot, and we would like to be able to actually park off the road right of way.
So the discussion is only about the parcel that's south of North Eagle Lake Road, correct?
Correct, because there is a steep slope on the north side. So, I mean, you'd have to remove a bunch of material on that side, but that would create even more of an issue being able to access that side. So I can access it.
I'm confused. This is, we don't have this in our package, so...
No, so it's not an application, it's just an item for discussion this evening. But that is the 30-foot parcel right there.
This narrow one right here.
Mm-hmm. And the parking is across Eagle Lake Road. Now, how steep is that driveway going to be then from Eagle Lake Road down to the lake?
And where we wouldn't go all the way to the lake, essentially so I have that drawing that you had pulled up before, and essentially what we were asking for is a parking spot outside of the road right of way. So 33 from center, and that was my mom and sister there with mobility issues. But
right there.
But yeah, so that would be essentially the parking spot with the 33 from center. It wouldn't, Bradley, I think, was going to make it a little steeper, hence the lower yardage that he was thinking. Wanable, I think, is looking at adding more material to make it less of a slope.
Wheelchair access, there's a certain allowed slope, not allowed, but a recommended slope for a wheelchair.
Once we get to that point, it's level. So if we were able to park there,
it's level to the lake.
Pretty much, you know. I mean, there's a mild slope, but it wouldn't be anything that I wouldn't be able to move. We're not looking to go beyond that scope with any sort of pavers or trail or anything. It's pretty level. If you pull up the GIS site, And then if you go to layers, and you can pull up, you can go, so there should be a drop, like where it says layers at the top.
Yeah, they changed their map.
And then scroll down, there's a 2-foot contour topo that you can pull up. Mm-hmm. And there it is. Now hit the drop down arrow again. And we scroll down, and I think we're
do the top one, northern contours.
Yeah. So as you can see, the steep portion is from the sloughed. The steep portion was primarily caused from the sloughing of the dirt in order to create a flat spot for the road. And then it levels out towards the lake. So we're just trying to make it level to that one parking spot that I had drawn.
So where is that parking spot going to be? Closer to the road, or where's it pointed out again?
It was on
that, where the cursor is.
Yep.
Yes.
It was got the red area on the other.
So yes, it's getting down this slope right here, and then you can kind of see that it kind of flattens out right here, but it's this slope right here. But then notice the sloping up there.
Yes.
And I mean, that's incredibly steep.
Yes.
You would literally have to carve
a lot. Yeah,
yes.
It wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And it would create more of an issue accessing that side, which I don't hunt, my dad does hunt, but the neighbors also like hunt on our property for some reason, but and no permanent stands. But that slope is such that you can't get down there with a vehicle currently. There is a small walking path, and you can get like a 4-wheeler down it, maybe, but it's not, you're not gonna drive your car down there. The neighbor did decide to utilize our property to pull their boat lifts out for some reason, but they had to use like cables and winches, and we just happened to show up when they were doing that, so that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. So I live on North Eagle Lake Road, so mm-hmm. I drive by this
daily. Yep.
And I know exactly the property, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't understand is if you're going to make kind of a flatter part, kind of the same elevation as the road,
it would go down.
Would go down.
Correct.
So you'd have a little bit of a drive coming down, and then some sort of a parking area.
It's too steep right now.
What I recall about that property, and the same is true of the property adjacent to you to the east,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you both have stairways or trails that are pretty steep going down there.
Yeah, the one to the east is steeper.
Steeper?
Yes.
It just seems like the elevation from where the road is to where you're talking about is significant.
It would be a grade, but it wouldn't be such that you wouldn't be able to park. I don't know what angle, but it would be doable. And that was part of the reason we were talking to Bradley at the beginning, and then we talked to Isaac as well, and they didn't think it would be unfeasible at all. We also talked about water issues and stuff like that with Wannabo, potential for culverts and stuff in Wannabo. He didn't think that it would need any of that. He was going to do like a natural blanket and then seed the sides and stuff and whatever. I mean, he had a plan.
So would this require a retaining wall? I mean, so the other thing that has to be considered, it's close to the lake, so
right.
If all of a sudden you have some grades that aren't kind of held back with the retaining wall or something like you're describing, it's just the opportunity for this stuff to wash right.
And that's what we were looking at. That's why we were talking about getting like some winter rye in there, which usually roots within a week and stuff. Obviously, we've had some pretty major storms right now. So if you don't have that growth right away, you have the potential for washouts, and then we would have to fix that. But I don't.
Well, I think Beth, you're asking if we should get an engineering opinion on this. And
yeah.
That's what I would suggest that we do.
Yeah, it says it must be designed to minimize adverse impacts. And so, mm-hmm. I think a stormwater management plan of some sort, so it doesn't become a funnel, right? Because that's basically what you're going to be creating is a funnel. just to minimize any erosion or any runoff reaching the lake. But then also just with the amount of dirt, I think an engineered plan might be something that we might want to do. There's just a lot of concerns. And, you know, according to the ordinance, this is definitely something that we can do. We can permit this. This is fine. We, of course, would engage with the DNR just to get their feedback as well, see if they have any suggestions, see if they've seen anything like this before. But I don't think anybody's interested in prohibiting somebody to have access to their property. It's just we want to make sure that we do it the right way.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate both the excavators you've talked to, but I still think an engineer should be involved.
So I'm just asking for a bit of direction on where we want to go with this. He filled out a variance application. We didn't know what we needed. Right. So he filled out a bunch of different applications. I don't think a variance is needed because any dirt moving associated with an approved permit doesn't need any separate dirt moving. It already states that it can't be placed within shoreland unless there's no other alternative. I think there's no other alternative. So the dirt moving amounts, as high as they are, would be allowed with an approved permit. So I don't think this is a question of like a variance from the dirt moving amounts that's usually allowed in SIZ 1 or 2. I think this is a very separate situation. And so I think it's just a matter of having the driveway permit applied for. I think where it says must be designed to minimize adverse impacts, I think we need to see plans and I think we need to see that. And then we need to just make sure that, you know, any erosion and any bare soils are covered as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so a grading plan, an erosion plan, those kinds of things. And I don't know if Isaac's worked with that before or if you have an engineer in mind as far as...
We haven't got that far, so...
Okay.
But we could, yeah. I don't... If you have any suggestions of companies, I mean, I could...
Can't recommend as a city. Can't do that, but I would recommend you reach out to people you know and ask who they would recommend. Mm-hmm.
And we would be, I mean, the slope would be getting more gradual than it currently is. It's going to be less, we're going to lessen the slope, not make it greater. So, I think it would probably be.
Well, Mike, I think you understand this property because you drive by it every day. What would you say?
I think it's a very good idea to have an engineered plan because I'm having trouble wrapping my head around how to deal with this elevation. And I'd have to go out there and look at it specifically to see exactly what you're suggesting. To me, it seems like the driveway would be a pretty steep slope, but maybe it wouldn't be.
It would be a relatively steep slope, but it would be less than what it currently is, and it would be able to be utilized and get up. It would get us off the road right away.
Well, it's a good goal to have.
Right.
It's a great goal. I understand that completely, and access to your property is a great goal also.
Yep.
But the question is, how practical is it, or what's the plan to do so?
Right. Yep. Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And if any of you, I mean, if you want to meet me out there or whatever, I can do that too. But yeah, we can, whatever you guys suggest, we'll, I'm looking for some guidance and direction and go from there.
I'd like to wait until we see a plan, because then we have something to review and talk about and consider.
Okay. This wouldn't require Planning Commission? So he wouldn't have to bring an application forward for that, but I think, you know, having you review it and having you look at it, that's absolutely perfectly fine. But I don't think there's no planning commission process for the reviewal and approval of the driveway. So that would be handled administratively. Mm-hmm. But if that's something that you'd like to just review the plan at the next planning commission meeting so that we're all on the same page.
Well, as long as you work with an engineer, I'm comfortable with that.
Okay.
If you feel after you get an engineer involved and they see the situation and they agree with what's being stipulated, I'll be comfortable with
that.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of what I was looking for because I was not comfortable just issuing a permit for that.
I think it's good.
And I'll just say if there's a way to do it, if that's what the result of this engineer analysis is, then that's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Do you have any other questions?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I guess timeline-wise, I guess it doesn't really matter because it's going to depend on who I find as an engineer. And then once I come up with that plan, then I can come back and we can revisit the situation, right?
You can just submit an application, a land use application.
Okay.
And this can all be handled administratively. So you don't need to go through any planning commission process because
okay.
It doesn't require anything that we require.
Okay.
It doesn't require CUP or variance or anything like that.
Sounds good. So on my end, I just need to get a hold of a company that does plans of this sort. Mm-hmm.
Excavating an engineer that
okay.
does.
A civil engineer.
Yeah, civil engineer.
Yeah,
okay. Yep.
I'll talk to Isaac and see.
Yeah, he probably knows something.
He can point me in the right direction because he's been in the business for
yeah.
a long time.
And then just make sure it has provisions for like grading, erosion, stormwater management, and
okay.
all of those things because that's really what we're going to need to address
right.
And make sure that we don't create any unintended problems.
For sure.
And you don't want that to fail either, right?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
you're going to be using it and parking it and family members, and
yep.
you don't want that slope to fail. So.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We'll be in contact.
Sounds good.
Next item, new business, variance extension request.
Last June, I believe it was a June 4th, must have been a special meeting for the Planning Commission. Peter Sandell and Laura Higdon were granted a variance to construct an 8.9 foot times 15 foot pre-existing. That must not be correct. I think in addition to a pre-existing family, single family dwelling.
Where is it?
All right, here we go. It is a deck, 48 square feet, covered entryway, and an additional story on a 24 approximately by 36 pre-existing single family dwelling. On a property located at 16886 North Eagle Lake Road. North Eagle Lake Road gets all the fun.
Is that the one
yeah.
that had all the discussion?
That is the same room.
Was for the lake.
Pardon?
The lake setback actually is not what we thought it was. Justin was in there.
Yes, unfortunately, I don't have any historical knowledge of this variance itself. And so.
The variance was approved, but then we found out that the actual setback was behind the house.
No. That was a different property.
It's different.
That was
okay.
near.
Yep.
It was near a bluff on the main body of Eagle Lake. This property is. It's a new construction, and we had a discussion about it being relatively close to the water, and we said we would approve it if they would put trees up to kind of buffer the look of the new two-story walkout structure to the lake.
Okay.
That was a different property.
So the existing variance timeline was deadline when?
It would have been 6 months from that. So according to the ordinance.
So he had 6 months to start construction.
Not 6 months to start construction, but 6 months to obtain a land use permit. So it says here, a permit for construction approved under a variance shall be applied for within 6 months of the date of variance approval. Construction approved under variance shall be substantially completed within 2 years from the date of approval.
And so
they did not apply for it. And so the land use permit was not applied for. I was recently contacted and made aware that they were starting to make plans to get moving on this project, and I had to be the bearer of bad news. And
what's your recommendation?
My recommendation is I'm just going to read a couple other things out of the ordinance. For a CUP, construction under approved conditional use permit shall be substantially completed within 2 years. The zoning administrator may grant an extension. But it doesn't say anything about that for the variance, but it doesn't say you can't have an extension either, so it's rather gray. Also, in all of our approval letters, I have not noticed that we notify people of that requirement.
The deadline.
I don't think we did. And my thought on this is that this is a good lesson, and maybe we ought to start adding those to the letters, which I will start doing for sure, letting people know about this requirement. Also, maybe 6 months, especially with construction and the climate lately with construction and availability of things, we might want to extend that permanently. I don't know. That's up to you if you want to look into that. But I think, as it says, that we can't give an extension. I think it's onerous to assume that the property owner reads this entire ordinance.
So you're saying he could reapply?
Well, he could reapply. You could grant an extension and then just apply for the land use permit. Or he could reapply for the variance and we could go through the variance process again. It would be the same materials you saw last June and approved last June.
What was your first option?
Grant an extension of the variance.
That makes sense to me.
To allow, and you can put a deadline, like please apply by, you know, July 1st. I will tell you, I got the application and all the forms today in my email. So I have all the land use permit information. And I just think that moving forward, we should definitely put that deadline on the letters and on the paperwork that we signed, making the person very aware.
Grant an extension.
Just grant the extension.
Okay, I would like it if you would take pass that by motion, that we're just going to do that tonight, okay. And we're going to grant that extension.
Do you want a time limit on the extension, like 30 or 60 days?
I have a question. Yep. So did Pete already submit all the applications for the next stage?
As of today, yes. And this all came about because Carrie Joyce contacted me last week about the septic, and they wanted to work on doing the septic. Now, the septic may actually need a variance. We don't know quite yet. That can be taken care of later. But the permit itself, the land use permit for the variance approval, just missed that deadline.
So do we need to determine the length of the extension?
I would just do July 1st to apply because they've already technically applied. So if you want to pass a motion that they have to apply and have all the application materials in by July 1st, that would be great.
Because you already have.
I do.
Okay. That makes sense now.
I so move.
I second it.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Any old business? Council liaison report.
I don't have anything for you gentlemen tonight. Surprise, surprise.
Administrator's report is included in our packet.
Year-to-date permits are in there. Things are picking up. I have 4 site visits scheduled for next Monday. So things are definitely picking up, and it's kind of fun to see. Summer is definitely here. I do have one item that I just wanted to throw under the Planning and Zoning Administrator's report. I currently had an application come in for an accessory structure on a parcel. I went to do the site visit, and the sonotubes were already in.
And what?
The sonotubes were already in the ground, and the L brackets for the pole shed were already there.
Oh, before they applied?
Well, they had applied, but I don't even have a complete application. I don't have a compliance inspection yet. The fees have not been paid. And so I called and, said, we have heard that perhaps some work has already been done. He's like, yeah, we did that. It was just lined up with the contractor, and the weather was good, et cetera, et cetera. So I did conduct a site visit. The good news is it does meet setbacks. So we're not going to have to require him to pull anything out. However, in this situation, there's not a slab poured, but there are the footings and the L brackets for the posts.
Is this for a building? Or
it is for an accessory structure. Okay. My question to you is there an after-the-fact permit fee that we need to collect?
Yep, I think yes, you can say so.
Yep. Okay. That's all I wanted.
What is that fee?
It will be 3 times the permit fee, or $1,000, whichever is more.
Different topic. I guess we ask this question all the time. How's the new Verizon Tower doing? Do we know?
Not anything since the last meeting.
I had asked also, and there's, as far as I've heard, I asked Mark, and he said nothing's moved up there. They've got flags, and that's about it. I was hoping that it was under construction by now, but I just asked last week about that.
Boy.
Yeah. And I'm disappointed. I was hoping to have it by now.
I think I did share with you last meeting that they are going forward with the federal approvals because I did get the notification for federal approvals.
Well, they are.
So, well, just one federal approval, but it was for Section 106, which is the National Historic Preservation Act. So they've done like archaeological studies in the area.
So they needed that before they could start some actual...
Not from us, so they must have, but we were notified as the LGU. And so we got notification that that study was complete and done and everything was good to go. So they're seeking other required approvals, obviously, so that's good news.
Sweet. Yep. Good. Thank you.
Someday.
Yeah.
It's only done 7 years.
Yeah.
With that, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Hey, Fred.
Okay.